And it looks like Loki's story is done, that he has no more story responsibility. So how is there a show about him? What's up, Internet? You are listening to the Making Geeks podcast for makers, families, and geeks. So, gentlemen,
kind miss of, you guys.
I miss you guys too. It kind of feels. I'm not sure if the show's going to be quite the same after that last weekend, and just in a small way. You know, we've been doing the show for about 5 years now, and Donovan, you joined in like I think it's 2 years ago now, maybe a little bit longer than that. So, I mean, after 5 years, I feel like I know Wes and Donovan and you to a degree, just talking every week. But after this last weekend, it feels, you know, a lot different. And it's kind of a weird thing. We developed these relationships online like this, talking, you know, during the week. And, you know, when we see each other at big events like Maker Faire or for like you guys for like a Workbench Con. But when you stay with somebody like 5 days straight, especially in somebody's house, there's a different type of relationship that's built. And sometimes you don't know if, you know, you're going to get along as well or, you know, any of those things or other conflicts, but no, it was pretty much like I would have hoped.
Yeah.
And it was awesome spending that time with you guys.
I agree.
Yeah. And we were up till like what, 2 o'clock in the morning most nights and just talking.
It was a weird sleepover party for 40-year-olds. Yeah. Or almost 40-year-old.
It was like summer camp. Because coming back from that definitely felt like coming back from summer camp. Coming off the high of everything that happened over the past. Well, I mean, for us, it was only 5 days, but still, it was a pretty awesome 5 days.
I think, Good.
I was going to say it's like a maker hangout hangover, right?
I agree with that. I think it's the first time I've ever had some pretty deep conversations with other adult males, like as an adult, which, you know, doesn't usually happen, you know, anything like that is usually just, you know, with my spouse or, you know, like that. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Some pretty close bonding happened over the last, 5 days or so.
Sponsor Rapid Fuse by Dab. Sorry. The bonding. That's terrible.
I get it now.
It says bonds virtually everything. It says it on there. It's not a very popular one. I should have said like super glue or crazy glue, I guess. Anyways, yeah, it was great having you guys here. And it was a lot quieter after everybody left. The kids were asking, like, when are they coming back? When's Donovan? Like, Grant was like, when's Donovan coming back? Is he coming back soon?
He just wants somebody to shoot.
Yeah, that's true.
That's or do karate hands, dominating him. That was a pretty epic battle with some very, very jarring screaming happening at the same time.
Yeah, the pinnacle was Wes pulling out that AT-AT that fires Nerf bullets. That thing was fantastic.
It didn't work on cue like I hoped. It never misfired ever before. And then that first time, it's like, not shooting. I'm like, come on. Are you serious? It's worked perfectly since. So I don't know. Grant's been messing with it. Trying not to. Like it's one of my. I don't have a lot of toys that I like deem as like mine that he can't mess with, but I have a couple select things. And that was one that I just bring out every once in a while. And I brought it out since then. And he's been messing with it. And then he goes into the kitchen, comes back, and like completely trips over it, knocks it over, blows the right leg off. And it's just like. He's like a snow speeder or whatever, just like totally toppled the thing over. I'm like, really? Okay. And it didn't break it. It's meant to disassemble that way, like in the box, I guess. But it's a little jarring, you know, like having like that precious thing. But it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Perfect. It's all fine.
So I got back home late Monday night. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's been almost 3 days I've been back. Have you guys been up to much in that time? Because it's only been 3 days. I don't know if you guys can hit the ground running with other projects or just real life sets in too quickly to kind of ride the wave.
Like you shared that like little gif before we jumped on here of just like a a kid on a swing, like dragging his hair in a puddle or something like that, like upside down. Just,
yeah,
like,
I might have to post that somewhere else so people can see the reference.
You should.
And he's just kind of just like there, just like, what now kind of thing. And yeah, that's, I get that feeling like when I'm at Maker Faire and like as I'm Maker Faire or Workbench Con or any of those sort of events, like you're like, yeah, I'm so jazzed. And then like whenever it actually ends and ended, I'm like, I don't want to do anything, but I don't want to feel that way, but it always happens. And it's just, I don't know. You guys feel that way? I don't know. You say you're like you want to be like on the ground running. So it sounds like you're not that way, but I'm always like that.
I mean, it's a little different because I watch my kids during the day, and having been gone for 5 days, which is not me not being here is not something that they're used to at all. And so every day since I've been home, my youngest has not let me put her down. Like, at all. She just clings to me like I'm going to leave again or something like that. So every time I try to pull her down, I have to, like, alien, like, try and pull her away from my face. And when I try to put her down, she, like, lifts her legs up. It's kind of like No Bones, but the opposite, where she, like, crumples up. And so you can't set her down. You're like, oh, okay, all right, let's go do whatever. I haven't been able to work on anything yet. So I don't...
That's the chance to feel like that, yeah.
I haven't done anything yet. But I don't feel like I've lost my motivation for when I do start working on stuff.
Okay. It's good.
Yeah.
I did one small thing. I fired up the laser and I did a test, which was probably a bad idea at the same time. I had bought a set of Slate coasters from a thrift store. I'm like, oh, that's great. I can get like 80 of these Slate coasters for like $4. I'm like, that's great. And something never felt right about them. You know, I'm touching them and like they look like slate. They kind of feel like slate, but when you tap them, it doesn't sound like stone. I'm even trying to break stuff off because I know slate should be fairly brittle. So I did a test and stunk up the garage. And I hope it wasn't anything toxic. And I talked to Wes late last night. He's like, yeah, there's a lot of fake ones out there. Got to be careful. I'm like, well, I think I just engraved some plastic on the K40, which I didn't really intend to. It came out kind of cool looking, unfortunately, but I don't know.
I think it's like an ejected mold plastic or.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It smells somewhat familiar. So, I mean, I can't say if it's like, you know, HDPE or.
It smells like death.
I don't think it's vinyl. I don't think vinyl gets, you know, formed that way, but you know, I had good exhaust, but it still stunk a little bit. So I have to, that's the only making-related thing I've done so far, other than editing our previous episode that just went up today. So we might be doubling up on episodes this week, which...
Nice.
Yeah, which we probably should do, because it's been a little while.
Yeah. There's been a little lag.
Yeah.
Oh, we fully intended to record on the appropriate day last week. It just didn't happen.
You get so wrapped up in conversations and things going on.
Oh yeah,
we were also trying to surprise people that live here, and that was like a little conflict to it as well, and it just sort of didn't align properly. But we got it done. I thought it was cool that we had a different perspective at the end than we would have had at the beginning too. You know, like at the beginning, it wouldn't have been that much different than normal. Just it would have been the same sort of feeling. I think that we're normally like used to having with each other just locally. And then I think, like you said, after that period of time, we're just gotten to know each other in a different way. Even though we've known each other for many years. I think that hopefully came through in the recording, at least some camaraderie. It was a little stale at the beginning. I think that we weren't really sure like the bantering and stuff, but I felt like we got into it after a little bit and I enjoyed it. So,
well, and I said it on the previous episode as well, that it was kind of weird to kind of have to switch gears and talk on the podcast, because we've been talking nonstop for almost 5 days at that point.
That's true.
Like, and now we're wearing podcast hats on. Like, okay, what have we not already talked about?
Any one of those conversations, we just could have plopped a little microphone down in the middle of the table, and that could have been a couple of podcasts in and of itself.
We almost should have recorded the weekend in a different way, and probably could have got a lot of content out of it, but, well... I guess next time.
Mm-hmm. Although, that being said, it was kind of nice not focusing on just trying to create content. Like, I went into this whole trip with the idea that I might make an entire video of the whole process of going on the trip and, like, getting together and everything that we're doing and, like, something that we might build together because we talked about the possibility of, like, making something together. But that being said, it was nice to just not do anything and not have to worry about pulling out my camera and capturing this and capturing that. I did a couple times, but, I mean, other than that, it was just hanging out with my buds.
And fantastic. We had started the making process. I mean, you and Josh were working on something, and Wes and I were looking at putting together the droid. And then I don't remember what happened. Something kind of fizzled out to where we didn't take the next step and actually assemble anything.
Yeah, we were like, we could do that. Yeah, probably Rayman, yeah.
We spent about an hour figuring out how to put one of the droids together that Wes is planning on working on. And then it just kind of fizzled out, and then something else took our attention.
Yeah, I was... The gatekeeper droid is what we were kind of messing with the most. And I was a little bit bummed because the instructions are so, I think, poor for that. And it felt like I was going to have to put way more lead time into that to get it ready to be able to be, like, collabed, if that makes sense. Like, it felt like I needed more prep time ahead of it before it was at a state that we were able to work on it together. And it felt like I was just treading water, trying to muddle through the crappy instructions. But I'm glad it worked out the way it did, because like a lot of those games and stuff that I introduced a lot of you guys to are great party games and stuff, and everybody seemed to enjoy them. So
yeah, it was a blast. Thank you, Wes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm sure that little bits and pieces will come out into our conversation over the next couple episodes. Because there's so much that was talked about in those 5 days that it's kind of hard to go back and do like a play-by-play. So,
And we can thank our patrons because they helped make all of this possible.
They did.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody that helped support the show. Because you gave me and Sean and Wes and Josh and hopefully everybody else that showed up for our little maker meetup and an opportunity to do something that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to do had it not been for all of your guys' contributions. So yep. I know we usually save this part till the end of the podcast, but seriously, thank you.
Fine.
And the trip also gave me a little bit of an existential crisis coming back home into this little box that I call home, and looking out my backyard, and you know, it's like, it must be like, you know, 60 or 80 feet from my back door to the block wall before a busy street starts, and still thinking back, you know, looking off Wes's back deck into that forest. So there's a lot of conversation that happened with my wife and kids when I got back home regarding all that stuff.
Yeah. We were wondering where Sean was one morning. And Catherine's like, I think he's out near the playground. So like she like looks out there. He's like, he's taking pictures like the back, like in the woods behind our house. And like the place where you were taking the picture, it's like this like rainwater culvert, like creek bed thing that is just a gully that we just toss like old Christmas trees down into. Like there's nothing of significance. And he's like, he's so fascinated with that. Like, that's crazy.
I didn't know you guys realized I was taking pictures down there. It's kind of embarrassed now.
One man's trash is another man's treasure, right? No, it's fun. The kids love like gallivanting around in there and like trying to play with all the different fallen trees and everything. It's definitely a different environment than you're used to, I'm sure. So yeah. I'm happy to have provided that inspiration.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And it's terrible because I got to the point on the trip where I was like, just stop showing me stuff here. Just stop it. Because everything you're showing me is so dang awesome or quaint or like just it was green. There was trees everywhere. It wasn't insanely hot. Like, it's such a nice place. And then I come back here and it's like 115 degrees outside. And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? I could be living somewhere much cooler than here. don't tell anybody, but my wife and I actually talked about moving. So it's just a conversation.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's
yeah,
a 99% chance that nothing's going to happen. But it's funny how it has sparked the conversation of, could we do this? Could we do this? And it's terrible because Cary is such a cool place that it's very easy to see myself living there.
Donovan was the last person to leave. Josh and Sean left earlier in the day, so we had like 2 hours or so before Donovan had to leave, and we were driving back to the house, like towards the house. He's talking about like green spaces and stuff. I'm like, hey, is there anything you wanted to see that we weren't able to see? Like, do you want to see, like, you were mentioning parks, you want to go see a park, check out some cool stuff? He's like, no. I'm like, all right, dang, fine then. But yeah,
it's,
I get
not
it,
that I didn't want to.
I get it.
I didn't want to be any more sold. Felt like I was sold enough.
Show me your worst landfill just to balance it out, will ya?
Just shut up and take my money. Just, yeah, it was that moment. So I feel you, Sean. I feel you.
Yeah. At least you still have a space at your house. It's like, feels claustrophobic here now. So
I'm trying to think of an awesome segue through all those words, but I couldn't find one.
Well, I think that, you know, I could picture like a variant of myself living in North Carolina very, very easily.
There you go.
Yep, there it is. So today we are going to be doing our spoiler cast of Loki. We talked about it a little bit over the last several days, but we didn't really do an in-depth conversation, so we're kind of saving that for here. And hopefully all of you are caught up with the show, so you're kind of ready for the conversation as well. And we'd love to hear...
For the entire season.
Yeah, for the entire season. And we'd love to hear anybody's feedback and their opinions on the show, too, which you could, you know, hit us up on any of our socials, and we could kind of, you know, respond and continue talking about that, too, in a later episode. So, Loki, and we found out this is season one, because there is going to be a season two. What do you guys think? Awesome.
It was my most anticipated Disney Plus show ahead of all the other ones, and I'm happy to say that it lived up to my expectations, and I really would struggle to find anything I didn't like about it.
It was not my most anticipated show, but it became my most anticipated show after each one of the previous ones finished, and I was being left wanting with each one that didn't seem quite right. And then, like, you know, I think Loki had all this other pressure too. But I think it delivered. I think it was phenomenal. I could probably nitpick things, but it would be kind of dumb to do that, given that the story is still kind of in progress, and I think they did a phenomenal job. It was great.
And also, like, I have to at least establish that I'm a little bit biased because my dog's name is Loki. So it's clear that I had an interest in the character before, and he's easily the best villain out of the MCU, hands down. I don't think maybe they used him as effectively all the time in all the different times he's on screen, but I was always had a smile on my face whenever he was doing something on screen, because you just knew that he was like messing with somebody or he had an alternate plan and this and that. What did you think, Donovan?
I'm more in camp with Sean in that it wasn't my most anticipated, because we had WandaVision, which started off really strong, but kind of fizzled out at the end. Then we had Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which we've talked about our opinions of that show. And so it was hard to know what to expect, if to expect anything, from the Loki show. And considering the fact that the character is Loki, it was almost easier to expect the unexpected, because he is the god of mischief. So one of the things is it being Wednesday night instead of Friday night, because of course it's Loki. That's good marketing right there, by the way. But I was blown away every episode by how easy it was to get wrapped up in the story and have that sense of wonder that you don't often get with a lot of Marvel properties, because they go for like spectacle. And so I loved it. I love that. Every episode of that show I thought was just fantastic. Some were better than others, but overall, I thought it was great.
I'm surprised there wasn't Especially on your part, Donovan. And if I'm misrepresenting you on this, let me know. Because of how you typically feel with them bringing characters back and not letting them die, and I don't know if Loki just lives as an exception because of the nature of the character, but I was under the impression at one point that Loki's storyline was done because of what happens in was it beginning of Endgame, I think it is, or is it Infinity War? I forget which one.
Infinity War.
And it looks like Loki's story is done, that he has no more story responsibilities. So how is there a show about him? I think that the way that they justified it is really smart, and it's like this bridge into the multiverse conversation, which I'm sure that we'll get to. So I think that it makes sense with the way they did it, but I initially was a little bit confused about, well, how are they still doing something with this character when this character is done? He's not actually dead. And then now we have the concept of the variant that works for Loki, but hopefully does not kind of retcon everything else that that they've been establishing, because then I think Donovan will be up in arms again.
Yeah, I'd be with you in that too. They have to use it selectively.
I keep putting Donovan on the chopping block, but I would also feel that way at this point after being so emotionally invested in everything they've served up to us.
Yeah, because I do have to say that, like, Loki's death in Thor: The Dark World, I think was like one of the most meaningful deaths in the Marvel MCU, like even more than Black Widow and like all those other kind of stuff. I think his arc up to the point where he died, I think, was just so well done. But then he came back, and I'm like, nothing means nothing anymore.
And not only that, he came back with any, it felt like any justification or any explanation of, like, hey, he's here.
Yeah. So it's funny. I was just going to say, it's funny because it's like that moment specifically is what kind of jaded me a little bit in terms of nothing mattering in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But then to come full circle with the show and how they brought him back, but it was done in such a really well done way that I fell in love with the TV show.
I was going to say, like, but Loki being a trickster and mischievous, he was the only one in that instance that could have gotten away with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's part of his character, like, attributes to be mischievous, and like, it's not outside of the realm of possibility for him to fake his own death to further his own, like, agenda and stuff. So I felt that was justified. And also they used Matt Damon playing Loki, like, in his little like a little skit or whatever. I thought that was like super awesome because of how Matt Damon played Loki before. And I thought that was like a super meta joke that I think a lot of people maybe didn't pick up on, but I enjoyed it.
I think there's something inherent about the character that not a lot of people fully realize. They hear the term like God of Mischief. But in literature, Loki is what is usually classified as like a trickster character, of somebody who is not necessarily good or bad, but typically causes chaos or messes things up. And if that was better understood, people would probably have an even fuller understanding of the character and, you know, why the arc might even be happening that way.
And they're typically the catalyst for progression.
They are.
In any mythology.
Mm-hmm.
The only other one I can think of at the moment would be Maui, because Maui, I guess, was the Loki of Polynesian culture, or vice versa. Loki is the Maui of Greek culture, but yeah, catalyst for change and progress and stuff. Speaking of which, I know we kind of had this conversation already, but how do you feel about the ending of Loki?
I loved the actor and that was playing Kang. Like, I loved his, like, mannerisms and, like, his personality. And I know he won't always have that specific personality every time we see him. But I love the way he was, like, introduced as just, like, a normal dude. In a way, it kind of reminded me of Iron Man 3 a little bit. Like, the Trevor Slattery or whatever he was, who was, like, supposed to be the Mandarin. But it was, like, Ben Kingsley's, like, fake Mandarin. He was kind of playing the part, but actually ended up being kind of silly and jokey. Like, a lot of people didn't like that spin. That plot twist in Iron Man 3, I actually liked it because it was something that I did not expect. And at that point, I got Marvel is kind of getting formulaic, so I actually enjoyed that sort of twist. But I got a little hint of that, so which I liked, and I also just enjoyed how he was like explaining things that the show was creating questions for. Like so many times, you end up with like a huge cliffhanger at the end of a series. They have to wait till the next season premiere next time to get the answers for those. But this one, they were just like, oh, you got a question? Let's answer that. Let's answer it. Now, a lot of them could have been BS. We don't know which ones were, but we're assuming that most of what he said is true. And just loved all that. Like, I ate it up. Like, it was sort of like Lost, the TV show Lost. There were a lot of elements that reminded me of that show where they had, like, characters doing a thing because they were always told to do a thing. And then they actually, like, stopped doing the thing. And the whole world started collapsing around them because that actually ended up being like a legit thing they needed to do. They just had no reason to know why to keep doing it. Just like all the workers at the TVA, they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. They're just told that they need to be doing it and come to find out supposedly that, you know, there was something to it after all, which is a cool parallel to Lost, I thought, which I enjoyed.
The whole time I was wondering if we were actually going to see who was in charge. Because I didn't know if that was going to be that carrot on the stick that they kept dragging us along for. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the first misdirection with, you know, seeing supposedly timekeepers and the robotic, which I thought was an interesting choice, but you know, it's their version of a twist, I guess, but then still seeing the kind of the wizard behind the curtain. And I enjoyed that the fact that they delivered at the end of the season for that. Now where it leads, I have no idea. It seems like it gets convoluted really quickly. And I think the biggest challenge is going to be making sure that people understand what's going on, because it seems like anything and everything can happen. And I don't know how you focus that story wise, just because it's, you know, but you know, they're the pros and I'm not, I'm just simply a viewer.
So I'm going to mention a little bit of a Black Widow spoiler right now. It's not a plot device. It's not a plot like spoiler, but it's just a thing in the movie. So mute me for like 20 seconds if you don't want to be spoiled from this. But it's interesting that in Black Widow, they introduced the concept of having like the... Now, they might have had this before too, but they used it in the movie where they had like the mask that was like digital... A digital mask to make him look like a different character. Had they used that technology in another movie?
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier. So you got that as a way to explain away some, you know, like you can like add some deceitfulness basically from the person telling the story, like to trick the audience basically. This is one way you can trick the audience into thinking it's one character, but it's really not. Then you also have the Skrulls, which will probably lead to more of that, where you think a character is one character and that's actually not. And now you're going to have variants getting thrown in the mix. So there's going to be like, and that, they haven't even done like life model decoys yet in the actual MCU. They had those in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which are just basically like robot copies of people. So it's like possibly a fourth thing that they're maybe going to introduce that they can use, hopefully successfully, but in a way to like make it, so you have no idea what the hell's going on half the time. Like, they can explain away so many things with so many different mechanics. I hope they just don't overuse any of these.
But maybe there's something to that, too. Is remember in the TVA when Loki's initially getting processed and asking if it was a robot going through the...
Right, right.
So yeah, I wonder if that was a reference to that.
Are you a robotic copy? I don't know. How would you know if you are? Yeah.
Well, yeah, you'll blow up your mulch when you go through it or something.
Just heading, like, going back to the Loki, like, specifically some other elements. Like, when the kid version of Sylvie went through the processing, like, that was pretty crazy. Like, having her see all the splatters and stuff on the walls, like, through that little portal or whatever, the metal detector kind of thing. Like, just thinking about all the times, like, that annihilated somebody, you know, it caused such gruesomeness, and like having the kid having to go through all that, like it was pretty, not traumatic, but like, not as serious as that, but from a kid's perspective, that's pretty messed up, you know, having all these things. it made it a little more impactful to me because they don't really have kids that often in Marvel movies and shows. Like, if you think about it, there's not really a lot of children doing stuff, except for, like, WandaVision had, like, the two kids. But really, there's only a handful of...
And Iron Man 2?
Iron Man 3, there's a little kid that helps him, yeah. But overall, like, there's... I can only think of one baby in the MCU. Can you think of a baby when a baby's shown?
No.
Loki, actually. Show him as, being the he's giant, like... form as an infant when he's rescued by Odin, right? But like, you had a hard time thinking about it. Like,
they're like, they get cold. They're both frost giants and they get cold.
Is Sylvie a frost giant? Did they ever say? She maybe not be?
I guess they didn't.
No, they didn't.
That's why he didn't need his jacket and he gave it to her. Yeah. But you're right. Yeah, he should have able to withstand that.
It seems like the whole frost giant thing gets forgotten and shoved under the rug quite often.
He should have some other abilities because he has that in his DNA, right? You would think. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
I mean, the show was good. I love the arc. Some really interesting things happen. But it's so hard commenting on this one franchise when we've come to expect it to be able to connect to everything else. And now it just kind of seems like just waiting for the next thing, and trying to see how these puzzle pieces might eventually come together or not even be referenced for a year or something. I have no idea how all this is going to play. I think the Eternals might be a big turning point based on their standing in the universe. I would assume that one will have a bigger impact on things.
Maybe. I don't know. I think the lead up into Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, and then the Ant-Man, like, was it the Quantum, what is it called? Quantumania? Like, those two things, the multiverse and then the time, more time travel.
And like, Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man, which also is potentially going to have multiverse stuff in it.
Actually, you're
since
right.
Since it's already been injected into the consciousness of viewers, hopefully if they're, you know, up to speed on MCU stuff, then yeah, you're going to have more multiverse stuff in before you know it.
Oh my, actually, so it sounds like I had it backwards, where it seems like the Eternals is the only one that we don't actively know or have an idea of how it's going to mix in with everything.
Yeah.
Donovan, you're being oddly quiet.
Well, I'm just trying to think. I just realized I'm still waiting to find out how Adam is going to play into all of this.
Adam? What do you mean, Adam?
So at the end of the first Guardians of the Galaxy,
Adam Warlock.
Yeah, we're still waiting on that. And how old is that movie? I don't know. As much as I love the ending of Loki, I don't think I've ever been so nervous for the rest for the rest of the universe. I am so scared that it's just going to be so like too much, so much, and so convoluted and so, like, intertextualized, everything referring to everything, connecting to everything. And it's hard because, kind of like Wes was saying, it's like you could do anything now, and it could be, oh, they were wearing a face mask, or oh, it was a double, or, and I'm just worried that it's going to be a race to the lowest, not lowest common denominator, but it's going to be a race to whatever is going to make the most money, regardless if it connects to the story or anything like that. It's just going to be a barrage of content while Disney tries to figure out what's going to stick, maybe or maybe not. I have no idea what's going to happen from now on.
I don't know about how much Disney gets to decide with the Marvel universe. Marvel, I could be wrong. I don't know the inner workings of anything, but it seems like Marvel's pretty much operating at its own independent entity. I think that Disney's has had a bigger impact on Star Wars than it has on Marvel. Possibly. I could very easily be wrong. But because I think Kevin Feige is the one main one in charge, I don't know if he's getting notes from Disney, but it seems like most of it's filtering from him.
It seems like he's able to block a lot of the stuff that we don't end up seeing down the line, right?
Yeah, I think that the Marvel movies are probably slightly less edgy since the acquisition. If you go back and watch Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2, I think they seem a little bit more adult-ish as opposed to what came after Disney. But I don't know if that is a real cause and effect, or that's
Falcon the Winter Soldier is pretty edgy when he was like bashing someone's skull in with Captain America's shield.
You're right.
Literally edgy.
That's true.
Literally edgy.
I agree. Yeah. It'll be interesting, especially since Kang's supposed to be the big bad in Ant-Man. So that's like next summer, fall, when that, or even further, actually. I don't remember when that one's supposed to come out. They're going to extend this out, you know?
The whole Kang thing has me a little bit confused. And actually, I probably shouldn't say confused, but Thanos was such a huge figure physically, and just like the presence of that character was pretty menacing. And I don't know much about the Kang character. That's probably why this is, why I don't see the scope of it. But it's hard for me to picture that this character is going to have the same type of impact as a villain.
Well, because they're introducing Kang, that opens the door for Fantastic Four, too, because I believe Reed Richards is related to a Kang, yes?
I have no idea. I
think so.
Yeah, I believe he is. I just looked it up. The Ant-Man movie is February 2023, so we're going to have Kang stuff at least till then.
So, okay, the end... I do have a question. Maybe you guys can answer. The end of Loki, when he goes back to the TVA and is trying to talk to Owen Wilson's character. What's his name?
Mobius.
Mobius. And realizes that Mobius is not his Mobius. Does that mean that Loki went back to an alternate reality? Or did he change? Is the past now completely changed? And
well, I don't think the past changing thing. I don't think that's how it works. Like how at least what they set up in Endgame, right? They said that's like Back to the Future logic, which they deemed that as being not how it works. So I think
Mobius,
it's another
obviously
timeline.
Obviously, didn't recognize him.
Yeah, I think it's another variant timeline or another offshoot timeline.
I think it's a branch, somehow.
Yeah. Or a parallel. It's a multiverse. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how are they going to control that? Yeah.
So Mobius is still there. It's not like he's like erased or whatever. It's just, yeah, I think he doesn't realize he's in a different one, at least till at the beginning he doesn't. And then he's quickly figuring it out.
The whole idea of like a, I forget how they phrased it in the show, but like a prime timeline, mm-hmm. like a main flow
a
of time.
Sacred timeline.
Sacred timeline. Mm-hmm. And deciding what justifies as that main trunk. Is really kind of interesting.
Yeah. There were
comments and references saying that, oh, these other things were supposed to happen. The Avengers were supposed to go back and mess the time and do these things. And it was really kind of interesting, almost sounded like self-serving in a way to justify the actions of a certain group. Donovan's stroking his
I'm trying to remember. There was a video that I watched. Stroking my beard. There was a video that I watched that kind of talked about that and how we as audience members tend to act like the timekeepers, trying to like create our own sacred timeline with our expectations for what Marvel videos should be. And if they branch off too far, then we try in our as a fan of this franchise, we try to like prune the timeline to make sure that everything falls in line with the sacred timeline. I can't remember who it was that did that video. Otherwise, I would recommend people go watch it because I thought it was really good. Maybe it was Film Theory.
I thought it was the interesting idea of pruning people didn't kill them, but it sent them to this. I forgot what it was called. This almost like a realm
void type. Or something.
The what?
Void? Or
the void? Yeah, I think so.
Something like that?
Or like the edge of time type of idea.
There's
some strange concepts, but I thought it was interesting that everybody gets sent here and I guess they get killed by the smoke monster.
Yeah, from Lost, yeah.
Yeah.
The Liath.
And the only ones that were actively alive and surviving were the Lokis and Mobius, which I think there was a theory that he is some sort of Loki variant.
Well, I think
jet skis.
I think the was it Renslayer, his boss.
Yeah.
Like there were, you know, there was some hint that this was not the only Mobius that she ever interacted with, too, because of the other rings on her table from other agents that he referred to. Like, you know, because he was said something like, I'm not the only agent. You have the other agents on the side or something like that, like an off comment. And that, to me, that, also the name Mobius means like a loop, you know. And so I think maybe they're plucking or using other Mobiuses from other, you know, timelines and stuff, and like just having him. Eventually, he's going to always figure it out, and then they have to prune him. Like, so it's just maybe there's a ton of Mobiuses running around too in that void as well. So it's interesting. And, you know, he's supposed to be a clone in the comics too. He's supposed to be like some sort of clone type character where they just have a lot of them. So that would also lend credence to that theory.
It's so tough when a storyline no longer feels completely grounded in almost anything kind of goes. You know, as an audience member, mm-hmm. you're not really sure, you know, where anything lies at that point. And I think, Donovan, that's kind of like the point you've been making for the last couple of years, with when it seems like you set up rules of the universe, and when you don't follow those rules, you know, how is the audience supposed to be really kind of coming along for the ride?
Well, we said that their MCU's movies are getting too formulaic, so can't say that much now. Falcon Winter Soldier.
You think they're going to focus more on like TV content now or movies? Because it seems to be flowing more in the direction of short form television than movies. Now, that's also like we are going through a pandemic that shut down movie productions and things like that. But so that may just be an observation more on the situation of our world right now than the intended direction that all of this is going to go to. But this seems like a flood coming.
Well, I made the comment a couple of days ago when we were together, but I think I'd said it in a different format too, that I think movies are nearly dead, simply because when you have the ability to set up episodes of something and not have to be locked into a certain time frame because of, you know, commercial interruptions, it allows you to do a type of storytelling that you can't typically do on TV and also can't do in the theater, because you have time slots for theaters, and movies are only in theaters for what, 2 or 3 months now. They get to be cycled through a lot faster. So even if you create something for the theater, it ends up on the TV a lot faster than it ever used to.
And honestly, some of these episodes are as long as some movies. So, yeah. I mean, look at the Stranger Things, like each one of those was over an hour long, right?
40 minutes.
It's like a movie in and of itself.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, each one of those episodes does not have to match exactly what you would typically do in a movie format. So story structure can be altered and changed, knowing that you're going to be able to pick right up with it the following week. So I don't know. A lot of possible changes. Hopefully all of them good. We'll be here complaining about it or talking about it either way.
Are you guys excited for the next one, the What If series?
I am. And I like the fact that it's animated, simply because I like animation. I like the way that they're doing the animation. And I think that scratches a different type of itch. But I think the real question is, this What If series, I don't believe it's just a throwaway series of What If. I think there is...
Oh, they've already introduced the multiverses, so... Yeah.
Right, there's going to be some sort of relevance. I just don't know how it's going to supplement this larger grand storyline that's actually already in place. If one of those is going to end up, you know, being true, or... Yeah. I'm really curious about the Watcher character played by Jeffrey Wright. And I love that. There was... And to kind of bridge another Disney property, which is Star Wars now, there's also a group in Star Wars called the Wills that is supposed to be doing something like almost like similar to the Watcher. So I like that idea of that view, I guess. I don't know how else to explain it at the moment. Almost like
a way to explain it.
Yeah, almost like this omniscient outside perspective. You know, otherwise it's just us. But within that universe, an actual omniscient type of viewer or watcher commenting on things.
It's Stan Lee. Spoiler.
I was going to say, yeah.
What do you mean?
In the Guardians.
Because he's in every... Yeah.
Oh.
He's in every...
They already made that canon. Yeah. The Guardians, was it Guardians 2? Which was brilliant.
So what are you guys geeking out about?
I had something and now I forgot what it was.
Okay, I'll go first. I saw this in the store and I had to get it. And I'm so excited to watch the rest of the season that what I wasn't able to watch. It's Lower Decks. Oh, yeah. As audio podcast. Yes, I got season one of Lower Decks. And
just make sure you say that correctly.
Lower Decks?
Because
didn't you watch Star Trek?
Because decks can sound like something else really easily.
Okay. All right. Okay. Lower Decks. I'm geeking out about season one and getting to finish.
I didn't know you were into Star Trek. Yeah. All the times I talk Star Trek, and it's like no one else talks about Star Trek on here.
Yeah, I talked about that when the first episode came out.
All right.
And how, yeah, we've talked about, I guess not a lot. No, we haven't talked about Star Trek a lot, but yeah, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It was such a humorous take on something that we tend to view as more serious television, like more dramatic, more serious television. This is... It kind of, it's a deconstruction of like Star Trek tropes, but in a humorous way. And I love stuff like that, and I think it's cool.
In a canonical way too. It's all canon.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm geeking out about that because I'm excited to finish the season.
I guess I can say I'll geek out about season two being announced that soon.
Of Lower Decks?
Lower Decks. Decks.
Decks? Hmm?
I'm geeking out about Masters of the Universe Revelation. I haven't finished yet. I've only watched the first two episodes, and they've done some bold things that I kind of already found out about a little bit ahead of time. So I was kind of prepped. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, watch it. I'm not going to spoil it here. I don't know where any of it's going yet. There's only, I think, six episodes, which seems like a really short run of this, unfortunately. And I have no idea if they're going to be doing a second season of it, but I'm enjoying it so far. I'm also enjoying trying to collect all the action figures that came out for it. There's something else geeking out now about too, and I can't remember what it was. So I might have to save that for next week once I remember it. So waiting for Wes to do his thing.
Oh, my geek out was for the season two of Lower Decks.
No, I know.
Tag team.
But I thought it was time to talk about Patreon.
I mean, if you insist, I can talk about Patreon all day.
All right, go for it.
If you wanted to become a patron, you could head over to patreon.com/makinggeeks. Become an awesome patron. They put their money where our mouths are, and we appreciate them for that, including our top patrons. Jordan, you're awesome. Thank you so much for what you do. Square Splinter and C3D Prop Shop. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, guys. And if you'd like to get a hold of us... specifically for the podcast, you can go to our website, makinggeeks.com. We have a contact page. And right there, you can type in any suggestions for the show, any questions you'd like to have us answer on air. And on the homepage of the site, you can listen to all of our past episodes right there on makinggeeks.com.
And now that we're apart and not together, we're going to be working on our own projects individually. So if you want to see what Sean is up to, you can follow him at Geek Builders. Wes, you can follow over at Geeksmithing. And if you want to see my feeble attempt at growing a beard, you can follow me at Once Upon a Workbench.
We want to thank everybody for hanging out with us in the live chat. Remember that if you want to be part of the show, at least part of the conversation when we're recording, we record every Thursday evening, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Then you can do the time conversion for wherever you're living in the U.S. Did I mess up again?
9:30 p.m. Eastern time, 6:30 p.m.
I keep doing that. I'm sorry.
Coast.
I'll get it right one of these times. 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's a yeah, so that's better. But we'd love to hear from you. We love it when people hang out in the chat when we're recording. It always makes recording even that much more enjoyable. You can find new episodes of the podcast every Saturday on your favorite podcast player of choice. So from all of us and all of you, have a great week.
Fantastic. See you until next time. Are we live already?